You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview with Alex Dunn and Andy Holding. Looking ahead to the Curragh card on Saturday, and what a card it is as well. We've got the Irish Oaks coming up at 5:50, but a fantastic supporting card as well. It really is a feast of Saturday action. Plenty of racing going on domestically as well. So there really is something for everybody today. How are you, Mr. Holding?
Pretty good, yeah. Fighting fit, ready to crack on for today. Yeah, just the 9 meetings.
I know. It's well, on the one hand, it's fantastic. On the other hand, it's sort of a, I don't know where to start kind of day, because you've got fantastic flat action, great jumps racing at Market Raisin. That's even without the Irish stuff. And then you look at the Curragh and, you know, it's one of the best cards of the day as well. So if you can't find a bet today, then, well, you should be able to.
I think the key is, well, you either be very selective or you just walk away from it, to be honest. I think it's one thing or another, because otherwise you have too many bets. I think you've got too many headaches and complications. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, you know, people are supposed to study all this and make, you know, concerted efforts, you know, to try and whittle it all down. It's a great day. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not sounding too grumpy, but it's just there is too much of it. I mean, I think everyone in the game knows there's too much of it. But of what we've got, then, you know, we've got top class. It is top class. So, you know, we should embrace it, make the most of it.
OK. Well, one plus point is that the Curragh card does start slightly later. So the feature race is, you know, not in the hustle and bustle of the afternoon action. But we'll start.
That's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pushback.
It does help. That one's at 5:50, the Irish Oaks, and some great racing coming up sort of alongside that before and after. But we'll start with the 3:05, which is a maiden over 7 furlongs. And a fair bit of form to go off here, Andy. Some bits and pieces of, well, those that have experience haven't disgraced themselves, I think it's fair to say. But which one do you fancy here?
Well, I think there's going to have to be a massive improvement in Shogun, but there's every chance that he probably will. This has got all the hallmarks of Painted Cliffs written all over it. We remember what Painted Cliffs did on its debut, and then what he produced next time out when he went to Leopardstown. He went from finishing with one horse behind him and not running up to scratch first time up, and then a miraculous recovery and a fantastic speed figure next time out. And I pretty much think that Shogun might well follow suit, because he was 5-4 in his debut here at the Curragh on the 28th of June, and to be fair, he didn't show a great deal. You could put it down to greenness or just lack of track craft, fitness, whatever you want to call it. But somebody in the yard got it badly wrong that day. They don't normally make that many mistakes. He was, like I say, he wasn't a drifter. He was very solid through the market all day. But he has got the blinkers on for the first time today. Who knows how much he'll improve? Only those that are closely associated with the yard would know that. But the fact that he is, very, very strong in the market early doors, suggest that we could do worse than following him again. They won the race last year with East India, so it's clearly a race that Aidan O'Brien likes and targets. So he probably would be the selection. I'd certainly give another chance to Harrah's as well. The saddle slipped with him the other day. He caught the eye first time out at Garrod in quite a decent race. Vice Marshall, who took that, is a very smart horse, and of course ran well at Newmarket last week in the July Stakes, and he just didn't get a chance to do anything at Roscommon the other day because of that saddle slipping. But if you take that away and just eye up that Garen run, it has all the hallmarks of a Mickey Halford first time out leaper into second time out profile. So he would be the each way choice behind the short price favourite.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 3:40, which is a handicap over 7 furlongs, and a real market move here, Andy. We're recording this just after 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and Breathe Easy, 5-1 favourite now from 13-2. Can you see why the money's coming for this one?
Very much so, yeah. He does love it here at this track. I mean, that's the reason why he's been well punted. Every time he ships up here at the Curragh, he runs to a very high standard. He was looking to bump into the other track specialist par excellence, Hassanor, here back at the Irish Derby meeting. Of course, Hassanor got beat the other day, but it was probably mitigating circumstances. He went round a bend and he ran over a mile and a quarter. But he's virtually unbeatable, Mickey Halford's charging. Breathe Easy, who made the running that day from a high draw, was the only one to offer any resistance. The only slight question mark would be his ability to handle 7 furlongs. He's never run over this distance before. All his best forms over a mile, mile and a quarter. If he can cope with it, then fine. But he's now edging down to a rather tight-looking price, considering he is running against a lot of 7 furlong specialists. And they include Takata Blue, Have a Nice Day. And I'm also going to throw in Craig's Pipes as well into that mix as well. She's a bit more lightly raced, but Andrew Slattery's charge has run some fantastic speed figures on her last two runs, even though in maiden company. And I don't think we should underestimate her capabilities. She was second to a horse that I'm waiting to run in the next week or two, and that's Fort Deloro. I do think Edward Lynham's charge is up to group standard, and she got beat 4 lengths that day, but she proved that run was a top-class one, making all the running, again, another good speed figure at Leopard Sand the other day. So she's got form here at the Curra. She should be able to cope with the pace as well here, because her numbers suggest that she's well up to this class, and she could well be a smidgen of value as well this morning, around about 10, 11 to 1.
OK. Next up is the 4:15, a handicap over 6.5 furlongs. And another really open race here, Andy. 5-1 the field at the time of recording. Plenty arrive here in decent form. Plenty of very consistent performers that we see week in, week out. They don't seem to run many bad races. So where on earth are we going to start here?
Yeah, real nasty one, this. The draw obviously has a major significant effect on the outcome here. Oh, it's likely to. High numbers usually hold sway. So that kind of just tempers my enthusiasm over a horse that I pretty much tip on a regular basis in these races when I'm struggling for inspiration, and that's Insolutum, who has been probably one of the most unlucky horses in training this season for me. I know he's won, but he should have won at least two or three more. Once again, he got a terrible run through the other day here at the Curra over 5 furlongs, which clearly is too short for him nowadays. But he's run some good numbers. He's top of my fee figures, along with Dark Alliance, who's got a much better draw. He won from stall 12 the other day, got a lovely run through, and he's got stall 10 today, which is not bad either. And when the Mickey Halford horse is in good form, providing he handles the ground, I'd imagine Dark Alliance would go well. I'm also going to throw in another couple just to mention here. I think we've got to give Master Speaker a shout. He finished very strongly the day at Dundalk, but he's got good form here at the Curra of the straight six when there's been a bit of ease in the ground. And the same comments apply to Balmont Mass. Now, Balmont Mass is actually one of the quickest horses in this race, according to my numbers. Based on that run behind Gordon Lord Byron the other day in that listed event, he made the running that day and generated such a strong pace that one or two other horses couldn't cope with that, including Line of Reason. And also Russian Sol, who was in that race, who won the other day at Dundalk. The form has worked out really well. Despite not an overly spectacular draw in still six, it could be a lot worse for Edwin Lynham, sprinter. And I would definitely give him an each-way chance as well. So at 10 to 1 this morning, I just slightly favour him over many, many others that have got fighting chances.
OK, so we're plumping for Balmont Mast.
Balmont Mast is the ultimate choice, yeah.
OK, fair enough. But a very open race. And then we move on to the 4:45, which is a little less open. A Group 3 contest over 6.5 furlongs, but should be a fantastic race. Hard to rule many of them out here, Andy. You've got Final Frontier, who heads the market at the time of recording, from Queen of Sicily. Those two both boasting 100% records so far from just the one start. Mark Johnson sends one over in the form of Rogue's Gallery. Miss Katie May is no back number. And the outside of the field as we speak is Antelope Canyon for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien, who won last time at Roscommon in the race that the aforementioned Haraz, whose saddle slipped, was down the field in. So you could give a chance to plenty of them here, but I think it's best that we start by focusing on the first two in the market, Final Frontier and Queen of Sicily. Of those two, Andy, which do you prefer?
Oh, much more in favour of Final Frontier. I think this is a colt going places. We were certainly made aware of how good this horse could potentially be just by looking at the market moves on his debut. He was well backed into 15-8 favouritism from opening quotes of around about 3-1. So we knew straight away that Jessica Harrington had a good horse in their midst, and he made absolutely no mistake by absolutely bolting him. And I love the way this horse quickened in the latter stages. On that card, there was two quality sprint races. A Nippy won the one, and there was another handicap. And Final Frontier for a three-year-old finished his race off much better from the 3 furlong pole than those Group 1 older horses. So, strictly speaking, on the overall time and on his sectional times, he's a colt, clearly up to group standard, and he gets a chance to prove that here today. He's by Dream Ahead as well, so he's likely to develop his already sizeable frame as his career goes on, and he should handle the little bit of cut in the ground that he is here at the Curra today as well. His side, of course, Dream Ahead, loved juice in the ground as well. So it'll take a very, very smart horse to beat Final Frontier. I know he's a short price this morning, but I actually think he's good value around about the 5-4 mark.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 5:15, a Group 2 contest over 5 furlongs, where Mecca's Angel has been well back this morning. He's now just odds on at 10-11 from Windfire, Stepper Point, Movie Star and Monsieur Joe. We've also got Russian Soul and Dictadel Mart in the field as well. Mecca's Angel, very, very well regarded. She's still improving. Was impressive last time out. She's got most things to suit here. The ground should be fine for her. She's not the biggest price, Andy, but the lack of the 8 places means that there isn't a particularly credible each-way bet here. Which way are you going to go?
Yeah, if you didn't want to get involved in the very short price favourite here, Mecca's Angel, I've probably got another fanciful bet that we perhaps could chuck a few quid at, but we'll deal with the favourite because I don't think she's the most likely winner. She doesn't run very often, largely due to the fact that connections know that she likes soft ground, and she really does operate at the very top grade when she does. I think she's a Group 1 winner waiting to happen when there's plenty of juice in the ground. So this should be technically easy pickings for her, and that's not being flippant or disregarding the others because they are smart themselves. But she was hugely impressive when she won the other day in Longchamp with similar conditions underfoot. She quickened up really smartly, and the best is yet to come from this filly, in my opinion. And I think judging by her overall profile, she's going to get better in the autumn as well when there is a bit of juice in the ground. Perhaps something like the pre-Labbe at Longchamp would very much be in a make-up once again this season. So I do think she'll probably win this. But I think there's a smidgen of value here amongst the without the favourite market. And based on my speed figures, I think Dictat Del Mar, the rank outsider here, has got a much better chance than the odds suggest. Considering that she's finished hot on the heels of some hard-knocking sprinters this season, I do think odds around about, let's say, 14-1 without the favourite, I'm just using that as a quote before William Hill actually step into the mix, then I think she could be worth a punt at that price. She was a good 60 the other day and a red-hot handicap from a bad draw over this course and distance last time out. And those hard-knocking handicaps are almost quite group races in disguise anyway. She's also finished fourth behind Great Minds early on in the season, again when there's been cuts in the ground. So I think Tom Hogan's filly here, around double-figure quotes to finish second to the favourite, is probably another angle in on that race.
OK, fair enough. Dictat Del Mar, an interesting one at a big price in the 5:15. The 5:50 is the feature race at the Curra. It is the Irish Oaks, a Group 1 contest over a mile and a half. And a great renewal, and the Curvy heads affairs. A filly really going places, comes here off the back of a Royal Ascot win. But this is going to be tricky because Words, Covert Love, Qualified, Jack Naylor, Together Forever, all coming up against her, as well as, I say the outsiders, but Gretchen, Speedy Boarding, Kissed by Angels and Stella Glow, all nice horses in their own right. There are plenty that you could give pretty solid chances to here, Andy, and many of them available at quite a tasty each-way price. But we'll start with Curvy. I mentioned she is a filly going places, bidding to make it 5 in a row here. How do you rate her chances?
Oh, she's a worthy favourite on what she's done so far this season. You know, she's won here at the track when she beat the older colts, Giovanni Canaletti, of course, who she claimed back in May. And then she went on to win the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot, which itself this season was a very good race. But this won't be exactly a walk in the park, as the odds suggest, because, you know, she's has had 4 hard races in the press, whereas Woods comes here very lightly raced. I like the way that Aine O'Brien's campaigned in this. She's obviously had 1 or 2 issues, but her 2 victories have been spectacular on the clock. She beat a very good field in a good main here last year, showing her qualities from the 3 furlong pole. And then she quickened away from a very smart filly the other day down in Cork, and that's Carla Bianca, who boosted the form with a win at Leopardstown the other night. I think that form is red hot, and she looked very game in winning that day. She actually won with a bit more to spare than the official margin suggests. Obviously, the hood on for the first time worked a treat. And she's always looked the type for this race, and Aine O'Brien's clearly sort of saved her for this kind of race. So I think she probably just about gets the number one vote. But I'd have to have a favourable mention in the direction of Hugo Palmer's Raider, Covert Love, who's 3-3 this season. She did a spectacular speed figure when winning a listed race down in Newcastle the other day. She did it the hard way as well. She was taken on for the lead, but she saw that individual off, and then she had a whole host of fillies to repel in the latter stages, which she did in a very game fashion. I think a mile and a half will suit her. The Gallimpy track should. And it's interesting that Hugo Palmer's gone out of his way to book Pat Smullen as well. So she's a very, very interesting contender, along with the front two in the market. But I just slightly favour Words, but I do think Covert Love will be in the mix as well.
Okay, Words then, the pick in the Irish Oaks. Should be a fantastic race, though, coming up at 10 to 6. The penultimate race on the Currer card comes up at 6.25. It is the Ladies' Derby handicap over a mile and a half. Often in these kind of races, Andy, it pays to look at the jockeys first and foremost. Nina Carby rides Turin Legends, Jane Mangan on Magenta, Katie Walsh on Tetrates. But that said, most of the jockeys in this race are fairly competent anyway. Of the horses, a few of these arrive in decent nick, but generally they're a bunch that aren't the most consistent. Where should we start with this race?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Magenta, a filly that podcasters will know I've got a little bit of a soft spot for. She posted a very good number when she won early on in the season over course and distance, and I wanted to follow her quite religiously on the next few runs because I thought she was a mare going places. And although she got beat last time out, I'd rather put that down to the track at Ballinrobe, the tight nature of it that counted against Kevin Prendergast's five-year-old. She just didn't really handle the bends. She got thrown off out wide around the home turn. And that sort of tight nature of that track didn't suit her. But she's back to the scene of most of her best performances. She's won here twice over course and distance. And with Jane Mangan on board as well, obviously Kevin Prendergast means business with this mare here today. She's around about a 13-2 poke this morning. I do think that's good value in a race where, okay, that there are a fairly reliable bunch, quite a few of these, the likes of Hurricane Ridge always runs his race, Paddy the Celeb and Charger are very much a consistent bunch, but none of them have got any hidden secrets on the handicapper. So I think if they all run on their merits here, Magenta, with her speed figures at the track, surely has to be there or thereabouts.
Okay, the final race comes up at 6.55 and it is a maiden over a mile and a half. As we speak, we've got the eight runners, so there is some each-way potential here because the market has it between four. Hanover Streets, who's unraced for the O'Brien team, Gelenschick for John Ox and Pat Smullen, Torsador for David Washman and Wayne Lorden, and McGugan for Jim Bolger and Kevin Manning. They're all 5-1 or shorter, but there could potentially be a maggoty each-way bet in the offing here for Mr. Holding, if I know him well, which I think I do. What do you fancy here, Andy?
Yeah, I'd probably give Torsador another go. He was sent off favourite here the other day off the back of a good time figure the time before at Navan behind Ivan Gorbachev. And he didn't really live up to expectations. For one reason or another, I just don't think he fired that day. Maybe he was a little bit keen early on and could have done with dropping his head and giving himself a chance to get home. But that said, the form of the race has worked out quite well. Here for the crack has run well on the flat, subsequently down in Navan. He was a bit unlucky that day when he got beat last time out. Pincode's won since as well. So, you know, it probably wasn't such a bad performance as at first glance. He seems to handle the track. He stays well. Providing they go a good gallop today, then Torsador should bury the L thereabouts with his track form. I'll certainly give favourable mention to Glenstick as well. She bumped into a couple of years old fillies down in Leopardstown the other day, and the second's won since on a pedestal who won at Killarney the other night. So, this galloping track's going to suit her as well. She probably wants even further than a mile and a half based on her profile. Obviously, you've got to be wary of Hanover Street and the money for McGuigan, but I think the two horses with form, Torsador and Glenstick, have done enough to be capable of winning a race like this, and the vote goes to Torsador.
OK, Torsador, the each-way pick then in the finale. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with your picks today at the Currer. You're actually in the studio today with Stuart Beasley and Paddy Aspel, live from 1:15, so we'll see you shortly.
Yeah, look forward to it. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.